Need some training tips for world championship sparring? Make sure you listen to this episode.
Sir, I will live with perseverance in the spirit of Taekwondo. Courtesy for fellow students. Integrity within myself. And to become a black belt leader. Welcome to the ATA Nation Podcast.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Master Zach Hayden. I am the host here at the ATA Nation Podcast. This is episode number 13, and I am so excited to have you with us. We've been having some great episodes. I got some awesome things planned for you. Today is going to be the first in what I hope will be a series of episodes helping you train for world championships. Now, you might not be going to world championships. You might be going to world championships. You might be competing for fun. You might be competing for world champion. No matter what, you can get some tips out of the episode today. And maybe you are currently in a place in your training where tournament competition is just for fun. That's great. No problem. But there's always an opportunity in the future, maybe now, maybe later, to take your competition to the next level. And we know that the tips mentioned today in our episode will help you with that. So we have with us an amazing special guest today. We are interviewing Master Jesse Isaacs. Let's get started with that right away.
Special guest interview.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have with us today the one and only Master Jesse Isaacs. How are you today, sir?
I'm doing great, sir. How are you guys?
Wonderful. Awesome. I wanted to get you on the show today because we have world championships coming up. Everybody is super excited. You know, we want to, what do we need to be doing to train? You know, I want to do well in my sparring competition at Worlds. You're the man when it comes to sparring. What, give us some tips we can be doing. Maybe just start with some conditioning that I can be doing on my own at home. You know, a student can be doing on their own.
Sure. You know, I'm a big fan of, for when I'm working on sparring and my endurance, you know, throwing like a mile run down and then running sprints, because that really helped my cardio, you know, develop so that I'm not winded while I'm sparring.
Yes, sir.
But then, you know, as I start really getting into it, you know, there's different kind of levels that depending on how much time you've been prepping, but since we're about, I guess, about 2 months out, you know, I would suggest, you know, you need to be working out at least three times a week for at least an hour to maybe an hour and a half to two even. And then as we get into maybe even a little bit closer, you know, 6 weeks out, maybe 5 weeks out, even a month out, you know, amping it up maybe to 4 to 5 times a week and increasing the workout to at least 2 hours. It's kind of like just working through phases. You got your phase one level and then you got your phase two level that you need to start bringing up the intensity and have a little bit higher repetition. Does that make sense?
That makes great sense. Now, what? Give us an idea of, let's say I'm doing one of those hour to hour and a half workouts. What does that look like for an average black belt?
So when I'm starting to get in that hour to hour and a half, you know, workout, you know, that's kind of like, I'd say medium intensity, medium reps. You know, I'm really working on just, you know, developing, you know, just doing, getting through the workout. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir.
My overall skill, like what I'm really working on, would be kind of low. So I'd be kind of working on just, you know, basic kicks, drills on the back, you know, side kick, round kick, you know, hook kick, round kick, round kick, side kick punch. You know, that way I can just, hey, I'm going to do 10 of each of these and run those sets. And then that way I'm doing on both sides and then do, you know, 3 to 5 rounds of sparring, about a minute on the bag. Because it's like I said, it's kind of low intensity, but that's something that they could do for their sparring workout. Something else I like to do. A lot of people don't know this, but I actually, when I'm even practicing working on just sparring, I'll run my form, and I'll use that for the conditioning section. Because I'll run my form and I'll get to the key up, and then I'll do like 100 sit-ups, and then I'll run to the next key up, and then run another 100 sit-ups. Because I'm really working on that conditioning section, you know, just trying to get my heart move, you know, pumping, my oxygen level coming in a little higher, you know, breathing up, and So that's kind of something I like to do to in that phase. So, you know, running my form, you know, throwing kick combinations and kicking drills on the bag, and a couple of rounds of sparring on the bag will be really good if you don't have anybody to work with. If you have somebody to work with, I would do all of that. And then also, you know, spar 5 to 10 rounds, about a minute each, just to start making sure I have some reaction time going too.
Yes, sir. Now, what if I, what kind of, strength, let's say I'm at home, I don't have a gym that I'm going to, sit-ups, obviously, Mr. Braden Smith wanted me to ask you about your favorite, killer ab workout.
I love Braden. Yeah, yes. He's at work. That kid's a workhorse, man. I should be asking him how to do my favorite ab workout.
Yes, sir.
You know, if you don't have a gym at home, I don't actually even have a gym membership. You know, Master Sawazi was making fun of me the other day because I don't go to the gym as nearly much as he does. But, you know, I'll use a lot of this body weight, resistance band training. You know, I'll throw kicks for time. How many can I do in a minute? You know, like round kick, or how many can I do in a minute? Side kick, throwing lunges in between. Obviously, the core training is super, super necessary. You know, throwing different variations of sit-ups just to keep it, you know, keep it fresh. So you're not just doing the same sit-up over and over and over again. But I would say when I'm in this first part of the phase where I'm really working on, you know, just building endurance, strength, and speed, I would be throwing between 500 and 700 sit-ups in a week. You know, so, you know, that way you're not killing yourself, but yes, you're starting to build strength and endurance. So I would give myself a number more than just, hey, it doesn't matter, I don't really care which ones you do. Just give yourself a number and go for
Shoot
it
for that.
Yeah. And then, lunges and kicks, squats, all of that you could do without weight.
Yes, sir.
It'll still help you perform. You know, build strength and, you know, speed and endurance. Obviously, when you start throwing weight on, you can accelerate that, accelerate those areas. So if you don't have it, I think it's okay as long as you are pushing yourself to get out and do it. A lot of people just aren't going to get out and do it. So, but I would say for that, I would say it's more of a, hey, that 500 to 700 range. As I come into a little bit more intensity, I'm going to boost it up to about 1,000 to 1,500 in a week. I mean, if you're looking at like competition level gymnasts, they're doing that in a day. You know, so that's crazy, right?
Yes,
so I just put it on the scale of whatever would be appropriate for the skill set or level you're at. And then if you want to get to that next level, just think about what your competitor would be doing too.
Yes, sir. Now in that, so you start off, you know, you're doing 3 days a week or so, starting to ramp up. That second phase where you're going more to the 4 to 5 days a week,
right.
Is it really ramping up the intensity? Or are we ramping up the skill level then too? What should we be looking at there?
So, you know, you should be looking more for a higher intensity, as far as what you're doing. You know, so your sparring drill should be more focused. You should probably be, like in that first phase, I'm also working on things that maybe I'm not good at, so I can get better at them, you know, just kind of improve my overall skill set.
Yes,
but once I hit the second phase, I stop really working on new stuff and really focusing on what I have learned and what I'm really good at, so I can push the intensity in my overall skill set. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally.
My skills need to be fine-tuned in this phase. My endurance and strength, speed should already – they should be maintained at this point. Not really, hey, I got to get stronger and faster. At this phase, I need to start – that should be maintained. I should already be in shape. I should already have power. I should already have speed. But I really need to start to fine-tune my skill set here. And, you know, that's where you really need to start focusing in on – training like you're competing. So the intensity would be higher. If you're doing, you know, that way, I would say maybe I'm doing maybe more days, like 4 days, 5 days a week. And I might not be doing as many repetitions because I'm already in shape, but my intensity as far as what I'm doing in that hour block or hour and a half block or whatever time you have should be much, much higher.
Yes, sir. Now let's say I have a sibling at home. We'll take the Smith family. They have an entire division.
They have a whole army.
Yes, exactly. They're at home. They're able to train with a partner anytime, all the time.
Right.
I'm in this middle section. What does a student, you know, a newer black belt look at when they're trying to really hone some skills in a partner drill sparring situation? Give us an example of something detailed that somebody could be, like an example of what they could be doing.
So usually when I'm trying to train a student or an athlete, you know, we're trying to look at these detailed things. For me, especially in sparring, I always kind of start with their footwork. You know, how is their footwork? It's their base, right? And it's the base of every, you know, whether it's a form, it's weapon sparring, combat, it's your footwork is what's grounding you. So I like to try to get them to watch their footwork and see, hey, is there extra movement they're doing that is kind of slowing them down? Are they are they moving, you know, the right way? Are they responding the right way with their footwork? And then I think the next thing would be the extra movements that somebody does when they go to kick or to punch. Are they you know, pulling their hand back? Are they crossing their feet? Are they stepping when they go to kick? Those are all movements that a newer black belt, if you could start picking those things up when you're watching, you know, somebody train or you're drilling with somebody, if you start picking that up, that you'll get to recognize it faster, and then you'll be able to respond, you know, faster. Once you start to, you know, recognize it, you know, quicker and quicker, you can respond faster, right?
Yes, sir.
So those are the areas I look at, because I've sparred a lot, but I don't really feel like I'm the fastest or really the strongest, but I really focus on trying to read what my partner is going to do. And those extra movements that somebody does when they spar tell you a lot of information. So those are the areas that I would work with on a somebody that's really trying to improve and get to that next level, or is a beginner black belt, not a beginner black belt, but you know, just really looking to start their competition.
Yes,
phase.
Sir.
Does that
up
make
their,
sense?
Up their competition game for sure. Yeah. That's excellent advice. You know, that's something that, especially you gotta, I'm always harassing some of my higher rank students when they're in a sparring class and they're sparring lower rank people, and they're just like, you know, sometimes they just walk all over, and I'm like, guys, this is the perfect opportunity to be honing some of those skills, not just showing off. You know, like there's no use showing off. Who cares that you can beat this, you know?
Yeah, for sure. And I actually talked about this at Las Vegas. You know, it doesn't really say anything about me if I'm like testing style sparring. It doesn't really say anything about me if I go out there and I know I'm sparring somebody that's just not in the same category. And it doesn't really say anything, show people how good I am by blowing this person out of the water.
Yes,
it says a lot more about me if I actually help them improve their level of sparring too.
Yes, sir.
I say this all the time to my top athletes and my instructors, or even my, you know, USA guys, or at these camps that we teach. I try to even learn when I'm sparring a tiny tiger. And I know that sounds kind of funny, but that means I'll put my bad leg in front. That means maybe I'll work on areas that I'm not strong at, you know, or, you know, my B game or my C game. Either.
Yes, sir.
And then that way it forces me to kind of go back to the basics and look at the areas, because maybe I can't do this very fast yet, but since they're not quite as fast as I am anyways, I can focus in on, hey, that body movement that they're getting ready to do, that's going to allow me to do whatever I'm not good at. Right.
Yes, sir.
So I really take advantage of everybody I spar, because I really want to see how much better I can get. And, you know, what can I start to read from them or learn from them, and, you know, work on some of the weaknesses that I might have, which are a ton, that I can improve on. So I try to take every opportunity, every time I'm sparring, whether you're a world-class athlete or whether you're just starting, you know, take every opportunity to try to pick something up from the person you're sparring, whether you think they're that good or not. It doesn't really matter. It just matters your mindset on how much better you want to get.
Yes, sir. No, I totally agree. I think, you know, I mean, I don't want to work on my new material against people in my ring. That's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. You know, like I want to work on that against the guy I know I won't, you know, die doing it.
Right. Sure. So like especially if you're in that first phase where you're just kind of experimenting and working through stuff. Yeah, man, that's the opportunity for you to really hone in and say, hey, I can improve these weaknesses. Because when you get to the second phase and you start training with other athletes that are in the same mindset as you, you're not going to get to be able to experiment as much because they'll tear you up.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So yeah, that's not the time to be trying the new stuff and honing that. That's in that first phase.
Right. Yes, sir. For sure.
So what's the third phase? I think so often people, especially really eager athletes, they forget about this third phase and they're training 5 days a week up to world championships. And that's just a huge mistake.
So I would say that the second phase is more like an A and a B phase. The A phase is you start to, fine tune your skill set, like you maintain your strength and your endurance, high intensity. Your sparring should be focused, super intense mindset. You got to be mindful of injuries. But the B phase of that is you have to learn how to taper. And that means you have to taper back on the amount and the volume of training. Does that make sense to everybody?
Yes, sir. Keep the intensity and the skill level, but you're not doing it, billion hours a week.
Yeah. So instead of if you were working out maybe 2 hours in a workout, maybe you need to cut back down to an hour, maybe even 45 minutes. Decreasing your frequency of training, the number of workouts you're doing, you need to bring that back down quite a bit. But you'll need to keep maintaining the intensity really high. Just cut your volume, just cut your volume, get more rest, hydrate, eat well, preparing, and then start preparing at this point mentally for the week. So a lot of people don't know how to taper. I mean, just to give you an example, when I was training and competing, I mean, really hard from 2010 to 2015-ish, we would train almost the whole year and we would go through this exact model I'm talking about. But I would say about a month, because we'd be training so hard, 6 months out, that we would be in this intense phase for, 3 to 4 months, so that we would start our taper almost 2 months before world championships. When people, like right now, when people are starting to think about training, I was beginning to taper because I had to bring it back down, so that by the time I got to world championships, I was doing light workouts every day. I was really just focusing on mindset. I was letting my body fully recover so that when I got to world championships, I was in great shape. I was recovered. I was healthy. I was eating well. I was high, all of the things that you want when you're an athlete. I had all of that going on because I tapered at the right time. And that makes a huge difference in your performance. A lot of people try to go, well, I've got to train all the way up to the event. That's a bad idea because your body's going to be strained. You're going to be tired. Or you're still going to be trying to recover. You want to make sure you got to pay attention to your body, and that usually is a part of that tapering. If you're fatigued or feel any aches or twings and pain, it's kind of best to stop, start pulling that taper in because it's really, really important.
Well, and the taper probably, I would guess, gives you more opportunity to make sure that your mind is rested and you're getting your mind in the right place. Because that's how many people train great and then they never think about their mindset? They get to world championships and the pressure just destroys them.
It does. It does. Mindset to me is huge. It's huge. I like to refer to other athletes outside of martial arts here, but like if you watch Michael Phelps get in the pool, he's not going out there doing like 100 push-ups before he gets ready to swim. he sits in a chair, he puts his headphones on, and just because I've read about it a lot, his coach says put in the tape, you gotta put in the tape of all the work you've done, all the training you've done to this point, and then look at what you want the result to be, right? Mm-hmm. Get ready for that result. I'm going to go out there. I'm going to get first place. I'm going to beat the world record. I'm going to hit this lap in, X amount of seconds, whatever it is, right? But just, you got to start having that mindset in. When you hit those tapers, it doesn't mean I'm not working. It just doesn't mean the intensity is high. Or maybe I'm watching video footage of me sparring my peers sparring, because maybe we videotaped ourselves while we're sparring the last 3 to 4 months so that we can see, I see when I do that, I really got to make sure I remember or focus in on not doing that or focus in on doing that. So that is super important. And I just don't think a lot of people come ready with a mindset to go, hey, I'm here for a reason.
Yes.
Obviously, I have friends that compete. I have family members that compete. And I mean, we've been doing this a long time for with a lot of people that we know for a really long time, right?
Yes, sir.
But I did all this training for a purpose, not just to come have a good time and compete. You know, there's three ways to compete, right? Compete for fun, compete to learn, compete to win. And where we're at this stage, we're at compete to win. Mm-hmm. Hey, so go with that mindset in mind. Don't go there just to go, let's see what happens. If you're thinking that way, that is the wrong mindset.
Yeah, that's not how you that's not how you get red letters on your uniform.
That is not how you get red letters. And it doesn't mean I don't still love the people that I compete with and enjoy the people I compete with. But once it's time to start getting ready for that next step of mindset competition, that's I'm focused on winning and everything that I've done to lead up to that point.
That's great advice. I have one more question about the mindset. So we have so many young athletes who, right. as a parent, you know, and I know you have young kids, so they're not ready to yet have you at the side of the ring, you know, screaming at them or whatever. but you've seen it, you know, for a long time. I've seen it. Sometimes the parent is not doing the best they can to help with that mindset on this side of the ring. What advice would you give a parent to assist in helping have the right kind of mindset, not put the pressure on in a negative way?
Oh, for sure. This is probably the best question we could go through, really, because I think we as coaches can do that sometimes too.
Yes, sir.
We all want our kids to win or our athletes to win. You know, whether it's a kid or an adult, right? I mean, I've got a couple of girls that are going to be in the Smith division, and I love the Smith, you know, sisters. They're awesome, right? But man, I really want my girl to win. You know.
Yes, sir.
But what I would say for coaches and athletes, for parents, is that we always have to praise our athletes' output over the outcome. If we keep praising their output, the outcome will follow. It really will. And we all know it will. You know, even if that title never goes on there, if we go, man, I you work so hard and I'm so proud of the work you accomplished. Because I could say that if my student wins or my athlete wins or if they lose, right? I could say the same thing.
Yes,
because if I go, hey, you're the world champion, you're the best in the world, that just inflates their ego. And then they start thinking that, what if I don't win? Am I not the best in the world? Am I not the greatest? Are they gonna care for me less? Because that's what how people think. It just is. But if we go, man, great work. I am so proud of all the hard work you have done to get to this, to get here. It's great job. I'm just really, really proud of your hard work. I would praise that output all day as a parent and as a coach, and it's going to make a lasting impression on how they perform. You're going to remove the anxiety of I have to win to be accepted or to be loved. We all know that getting a medal shouldn't dictate my value as a person, but we also have seen how many times in professional athletes or even our athletes at martial arts, it does, because we're maybe just not saying the right message. So I would just encourage you to praise the output, praise the work they're doing, not necessarily the outcome of what has happened, whether it's good or bad. Does that make sense?
That is great advice. You know, and I love that you focus on the praise. I can even see as a coach or as a parent, you know, obviously we want to work on the praise side of things, but if I'm going to have some kind of criticism or some kind of correction, focusing the correction on, did you do the output? You know, did you,
there you go.
How much did you work? You know, you didn't spend the time training, not, hey, you didn't win. Did you put in the effort? And if they did and didn't win, then you're still just praising the work that they did to get to there.
That's true. Without a doubt, because then you can go back and you can't complain about the results you didn't get for the work you did.
Yes, sir.
Right. So, but because then you're not attacking them, we're saying, hey, was there more we could have done? And if the answer was yes, then it's an easy solution. It's not like, hey, you're a bad person. It's an easy solution. Let's go back and We gotta make adjustments here in our training schedule and how much, or maybe what we're eating, or maybe how late we're staying up, or whatever it is. You know, you can really start to make adjustments because you're talking about the output instead of just the outcome. And that'll help them understand, obviously. And the next thing to me is, you know, the consequences to action. You know, yes, consequences can be good. They can also be bad. So, you know, then it goes, oh man, I could have done this better. Okay. Well, you know, that's where we're going to focus in next, instead of, you know, saying, oh, well, you failed because you didn't win. That doesn't help me at all.
I love, you know, praising the work, praising the right skills that they put into it. That is great advice. Well, sir, yeah. I really appreciate this. I think a lot of people are going to find this very useful, very helpful. And it's got a lot of great advice for starting the new season, you know, using these phases to really look at, I mean, we're kind of in the middle of a season because 2021 is weird, right. But, you know, we still have a whole year of tournament competition till our next championships after Worlds this year. So using these phases to kind of set new goals for the new year as well.
For sure. You know, and obviously, you know, I have some of this written down a little bit more detail for people if they ever want it. You know, I can help get it to you so you can get it to them if you like. Awesome. I would say as an athlete, if you're coming into the new tournament year or whatever year you're in or wherever you're at in the season, you gotta plan your work and then work your plan, right? Mm. So if you're not doing that, you're not really taking competition serious. I take competition pretty serious.
Yes,
sir. I really like to compete, and I'm not competing on the floor right now, but man, I'm competing in a lot of other areas of my life, but I've also got a plan to how I want to execute that competition. Right. Mm-hmm. So it's just like making a business plan. So for any of our young athletes who, hey, I want to own my own business one day, or I want to run my martial arts school, help martial. Okay. We got to have plans every quarter, every year, every 5 years, every 10 years. Right. So my biggest takeaway for all of the athletes is that you got to have a plan on when you're going to work these phases and then follow the process. Cause if you keep going through the process, you'll end up in the right spot. Right. Cause the process kind of has a, you know, set point one, you know, set point one to set point five. You got to go all the way through the process. Right.
Yes, sir.
If you're just on a journey and you're just training for fun, that's great, but expect that kind of result also. Mm-hmm. I can already tell you what the result will be. It'll be a fun result. Sometimes you'll win, sometimes you won't. But if you have a process, you can really plan out, hey, this is what I got to do. I know what I got to do here. I got to know what to do here. When I go to this competition, I need to do this. When I go to the national competition, I got to do this. And when I go to the world competition, I do this. So it already starts building the mindset. It builds the work ethic. It builds the effort that you need to do to properly prepare to excel in competition.
Yes, sir. Well, I appreciate your time today, sir. I think people are going to find this super useful, and we look awesome. Forward to seeing you at World Championships.
Yes, sir. I can't wait. I'm looking forward to it. Vegas was great. I think World Championships is going to be even better. I'm really, really pumped about it.
Yes, sir. Well, we'll see you there.
All right. Sounds good, sir.
Here's what's going on in ATA Nation.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, since we just got done talking about training for World Championships, let's go over some of the events coming up at World Championships. So registration is now open for the World's rank testing and midterm testing. So if you haven't done that, if you're planning to test or midterm there, you need to make sure you head over to atamartialarts.com and check that out. You can also find a hotel there. They've got a list of all the different hotels. I was just spying on some people on social media, and they were checking out the Phoenix downtown area. Some people from ATA headquarters, getting familiar with the area, make sure they know what's going on. So now, you can check in as early as Monday, between 12 and 6 on July 26th down at World Championships in Phoenix, Arizona. But the big stuff starts off on Tuesday, July 27th with the World Conference. This is an amazing opportunity. Really neat this year is the ATA Thrive Live. So if you are a school owner and instructor, you might have been participating in the ATA Thrive online trainings over the last year. I know I have. They are going to bring that to a live format. It's a mastermind event. It's going to be a lot of fun, and it's free if you're an ATA licensee. So you definitely want to check that out. Staff members at a licensed school, you might want to talk to your instructor and see if that's something that you can attend as well. I know me personally that day, I will be doing my senior mastership training, so I've got that all day long. And then that night, there's the traditional gumdo testing. I don't know what I got to do to test there yet because I just started my gumdo training, the virtual gumdo program. I'm loving it. Super cool. But maybe I can test then. I'm hoping so. That'd be pretty exciting. Wednesday, there's a legacy facilitator training. World Conference is going on. Senior Master Blomquist is doing yoga for martial arts. I take that every year. I love it. This year, I don't know if I'll be able to take it because I might have to do my legacy facilitator recertification. I got to double check. World Conference, the Texas Takeover, Chief Master Sestair and his family are going to be doing traditional sparring and combat sparring training. That's an awesome event. Pretty excited about having them teach that. Mrs. Kaminsky is going to be doing an injury prevention and performance training for martial arts. I heard she did this at Nationals, Spring Nationals, and there were some awesome reviews. So that sounds like it could be a lot of fun. Really great information I heard at that event. Traditional Gumdo Fundamentals with Chief Master Ramonde, and then Back to Basics with Presiding Grandmaster Soon Ho Lee and Grandmaster MK Lee. Some ProTech training coming in on Wednesday as well. The team demo and team sync finals will happen that day. And then the Tournament of Champions for Extreme and Creative will take place on Wednesday as well. Thursday morning starts bright and early with the international rank testing and midterms. And then the Tournament of Champions, of course, forms and weapons will go on Thursday. Then Friday, sparring and combat sparring Tournament of Champions, and then team sparring as well. There'll be the USA Nationals, and then, of course, the international team sparring and combat sparring event, and then an opening ceremonies event on Friday night. Saturday, competition starts. It's going to be a lot of fun. Make sure you are registered. So I can't wait, guys. It's going to be so much fun. So much fun to be back at World Championships. Make sure you get registered, okay? That's all I got for you today, guys. Get out there, get training, take some action.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the ATA Nation Podcast. Be sure to subscribe and share with your ATA family.
So if you guys checked out the new ATAMartialArts.com website, it's pretty sweet. They've got everything combined there. And if you haven't yet, students, you can create a profile on there and look at, you know, like your tournament competition and some other stuff like that. So I would definitely suggest if you haven't yet, go over to ATAMartialArts.com and let me see right now. Let me scroll on over there. And you can go to the login button, and I'm guessing that if you don't have a login, let me look. I've done it already. Let's see, press login. There, yep. When you press login, if you don't have a login already, and it says underneath, don't have an account yet, sign up. All you got to do is sign up there, and you put your email in, and you'll be ready to rock, okay? Email, password, that kind of stuff. So definitely set up your account on ATAMartialArts.com. It's a pretty sweet new platform they've got going on there. Looks great. Got to see some of these awesome ATA ambassadors on here on the main pages. Very cool. Okay, guys, We'll talk to you next week.